This is a command of Jesus. Interpret the present time. Interpret the signs of the time. A phrase that has been widely misunderstood and abused, but nevertheless we have to try to understand what Jesus is asking us to do. He's telling us that there's something very important here that we have to do. We as individuals, we as a Christian community, we as a church, interpret the present time. What is going on around you? He uses the example of signs of weather, clouds rising, winds blowing. So which way are the winds blowing in our culture, in our society? We have to be understanding the Word of God, and then we have to be understanding the winds and the clouds and the waves in our culture. Why? So that we know how to respond, so that we know how to do something about it. This leads us to a basic teaching of our faith. We are not supposed to be disengaged from the world. We're supposed to be disengaged from worldly things, but that means something else. Being concerned about those things that really ultimately don't matter. But what Christ teaches us is that the way we shape our society does matter. The things we do to bring about a better earth are not lost when we go to heaven. We take the good things that we produce in this world, justice and peace, respect for life, brotherhood, unity, and those become the building blocks of the world to come. We carry them with us into the next world. This life and the life to come are not disconnected. They're connected. And so Christians cannot be disconnected from the things of the world, the things of society, and the things of politics. And once again, I have to draw your attention, we have to focus our attention on the fact that here in the United States we are about to enter into a very important election. Now, the signs of the times are brought home to us when we see how split down the middle, how divided, how seriously divided, and how closely divided both our country and its elected leadership are about crucial moral issues. This was the case 2 years ago when we almost didn't elect the president. And this is the case now. It's split down the middle. It can go either way. And what do I mean by either way? What I mean is that the dominant influence, the dominant position of the leadership of our government can go one way or the other in this coming election as far as fundamental Christian values are concerned. On matters like the protection of life, which the bishops have identified as the number one fundamental issue. On questions such as the sanctity of marriage, family, education of our children, on fundamental, crucial Christian moral values, right now we don't know and we can't predict the way it's going to go. But what I want to tell you today, brothers and sisters, is that the way it's going to go does not depend on some kind of vague, powerful forces that are disconnected from you and that reside somewhere in Washington or somewhere on the moon. It depends on you. And you know what the problem is here? That too many of you don't believe that. Too many Christians don't really believe that. You know, I saw a poll recently that indicated that in the last election, 50% of church-going Christians weren't even registered to vote. That's a scandal. That's a sin. I bet you don't have that on your list of sins when you go to confession, do you? That you're not registered to vote. I say it's sinful in the sense that you're failing in your moral responsibility to judge the signs of the times. The signs of the times should tell you that there's some clouds rising, that there's some winds blowing, and that you have something to say about it. I'm going to address something very clearly and very directly here today because I'm very disturbed by it. It's Christians lamenting about, oh, how terrible some of these laws and policies are that we have in our government. What is our nation coming to? What is our society coming to? Where are we going? Oh, how terrible it is. And they lament, and they weep, and they cry, and they complain. Well, for goodness sake, when's the last time they went into the voting booth? It's up to you to choose the kind of people that are going to lead our country, that are going to vote, that are going to propose the kind of policies that later on you're going to complain about. Enough of this complaining and lamenting. Get informed, find out who's running, and get into that voting booth and vote like Christians. Unafraid. The same hands that you lift up to God in prayer are the hands that push down the lever in the voting booth. You have one pair of hands, not two. It's the same person whose eyes read the Word of God, whose same eyes read the names of the people on the ballots. Now you have to read their names, not just the little letter that comes after the name. If you just read the little letter that comes after the name and say, oh, my grandfather always voted according to this party, so did his father and his grandfather. Sorry, you're not doing what Jesus told you to do. Maybe you should vote that way. Maybe you should vote for the other party. The point is, you've got to ask yourself, what does this party stand for? What does this person stand for? You're not interpreting the signs of the times if you're just looking at the little letter after the name. You've got to know what that party stands for, how it lines up with the Word of God, how that particular candidate lines up with the Word of God, what kind of policies and laws and procedures and philosophies they're going to try to enact in this country, and you've got to do something about it. Oh, Father Frank, but some people will tell me my vote is only one vote. Well, then don't be content just with your vote. Start influencing other people's votes. Sure, you only have one vote. I'm not asking you to vote more than one time. I'm asking you to influence other people's votes. I'm asking you, between now and the election, to start getting on the telephone and talking to your friends and the people you go to church with and the people that are in the societies and sodalities and groups and prayer groups and ask them, are you going to vote? Do you know who's running? Do you know which candidates are willing to respect human life and which ones are in favor of allowing baby killing in our country? I want you to get on the phone and start calling your friends now, today, and tomorrow, and the next day, and every day between now and the election, and make sure that you're influencing other people to get out of their complaining mode and into their action mode. Oh, but how many people do I know? Well, I'm not just asking you to tell your friends to do this. I'm asking you then to tell them to make the calls to their friends. See, we have to decide here as a Christian community, are we going to take it upon ourselves to change things? Or are we just going to continue to say, oh, look how bad what those other people are doing is? Today we said at the beginning of the Mass that we confess to Almighty God that we have sinned by what we have done. Okay, we all know the list of bad things we've done. But we also said we're sorry for what we have failed to do. Are we going to say that on the day after Election Day? If people are in power who care nothing about innocent human life, who think that they can define what the family is, who care nothing about God in public life, and are we going to have to bow our heads and say, for what we have failed to do? And I'm saying this because it's a toss-up right now. There's a lot of elections across this nation that are very, very close. We have to look in a particular way at the United States Senate, because the people who get elected to the United States Senate are also going to decide who ends up in the United States courts. And the people in the courts sometimes think they're God, and they decide all kinds of decisions that impact the moral direction that our country takes. Besides calling your friends, there's another activity that a lot of Christians are going to do, but I want more Christians to do it on this weekend and next weekend. And you know what it is? It's a very time-honored, perfectly legal, and perfectly Christian activity, and that is distributing voter guides. By hand. People are going to go out into malls and on public sidewalks and streets and near churches And they're going to hand to their neighbors and their friends and people passing by and strangers a piece of paper, a flyer. Now, there are many groups in our country that have produced these flyers. A lot of people don't pay any attention to who is running for office until right about now, or maybe during next week sometime, or maybe the day before Election Day. And so a lot of folks go out and they take these flyers and hand them out. Now, you might not feel comfortable doing that. My message is to you today, do it anyway. Never mind if you feel comfortable or not. You're going to feel pretty uncomfortable if the wrong people get elected. You're going to feel pretty uncomfortable if this country continues in a downward spiral, rejecting the law of God, rejecting the commands of God, and then we complain about who's in office. I want you today to seriously consider taking some time the next two weekends to distribute voter guides. Now, there are organizations nationally and there are organizations in your community that are doing this. There are groups that have prepared these voter guides, and they need your help. They need an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours of your time. They'll tell you exactly what to do. They'll give you the voter guides. You don't need to be an expert on anything. You don't need to have done this before. All they need is your hands and your time. You don't have to say anything to anybody. You don't have to get involved in any arguments or any discussions. We need your help throughout the country. And what is this activity all about? Simply informing your neighbors as to what their choices are. And it also involves being politically active. Now, we as a church, we as a priest, we don't endorse, the church herself does not endorse particular candidates. The church teaches moral principles, and then it's up to you to find out how the candidate matches up with those moral principles. Now, let me, a lot of times when I give homilies like this, people come to me later, and afterwards they say, well, Father, how do I find out? There are a lot of sources of information. On our website, priestsforlife.org, we are going to put, and we already have, a page where you have various links to various websites that give you the information you need to interpret the present time, as the gospel says, to read the signs of the times, to know what's going on. We're going to put those links up there. We're going to add to it. There's lots of information, and also the links to what you have to do in order to help with this effort of spreading this information. But I want to ask you to seriously get involved here, because handing out voter guides the weekends before the election can actually make the difference, especially when the election is close. It all depends on who knows what about each candidate and actually decides to go into the voting booth. Now, there's some people say, oh, but, I don't like to do this, I don't want to do this, I don't have time to do this. Yes, you have time. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Doesn't matter if you don't like to do it. We're in a war here. There's a serious battle going on. There's a need. Christians have to get active. Christians have to be involved. Christians have to do something. And God help us if we don't. Now, you have a constitutional right. Now, I'm talking about a moral obligation here, but you also have a constitutional right to stand on a public sidewalk and hand out literature. Now, I'm very, very sad this time of year at the behavior of some of my brothers in the priesthood and in the clergy of other denominations, because sometimes they think they own the sidewalk. With all due respect, the pastor of a church has authority over what that particular church does, but he cannot deprive you or anybody else of your First Amendment rights. And if you are on public property, you have a constitutional right to distribute any kind of literature, no matter how political it is, anytime you want, to anybody who goes by. That's a constitutional right. Now, you can't say, if Pastor so-and-so says, well, I don't want my church doing this, we respect that. Pastor so-and-so, that's fine. We're not going to do it in the name of Holy Trinity Church or any kind of church. I'm going to do it in my own name, as Mr. and Mrs. Citizen of the United States, who has the right to free speech and free assembly and passing on of information to my fellow citizens. If a particular group is going to be handing out literature on the sidewalk near your church and they want your help, You can do it as a citizen of the United States. You have a constitutional right to stand on public property and hand out information. Now, the reason I'm focusing on this, brothers and sisters, is only because I keep hearing year after year after year people calling me and writing me and saying, oh, yeah, I was chased away by my pastor. He said, don't hand out that stuff over here. Well, if he says don't hand out that stuff in my church, then you have to listen to him. But he can't tell you don't hand out that stuff outside on the public sidewalk. Now, I really don't care who thinks what about what I'm saying right now. Because this is absolutely essential. And this is very, very important. And you know what? If you run into problems with this, I want to know about it. I want you to write to me. I want you to call me at Priests for Life. I want to know where the problems are here. Because it's bad enough if the Christian community doesn't do everything it can to shape society according to the Word of God. But when we start to become positive obstacles in the way, then we've got a real problem. You know that there are some parts of the country where we've got people publicly identifying themselves as Catholics and taking a position in favor of abortion. Oh, they'll say they're not in favor of abortion, but they're pro-choice. They want to keep it legal. And sometimes they'll say, well, you know, it's not up to me whether abortion is legal in this country, so why are you concerned about my position? I'm not going to be voting on whether it's legal. Well, I'll tell you what we're concerned about. If you're running for public office, our concern is not so much whether your vote affects the legality of abortion. Our concern is what your position on abortion says about you. It's a question of character. As I've said many times, if a politician cannot respect the life of a little baby, how's he or she supposed to respect yours? Think about it. You can't bring yourself to respect the life of a little helpless baby, and you expect me to put you in some kind of authority over me? No thanks. Get out of here. Go away. Go away. Any politician who takes a pro-choice position, brothers and sisters, is not worthy of public office, no matter whether they're Catholic or not Catholic. And some Catholics, you know, again, they don't... If you don't think, you might fall into the trap of saying, oh, gee, I heard that this candidate is Catholic. That means I should vote for them. Oh, no, it doesn't. Just because someone's Catholic doesn't mean that they're the right person for that office, especially if they're contradicting basic, not only Catholic principles, but basic human principles, and allowing an act of violence to continue in our country. Sometimes the more Catholic thing to do is to vote against the Catholic candidate. If that candidate is bringing shame upon our faith by standing up and saying that the bloodshed of little babies doesn't matter. Well, I leave it in your hands, brothers and sisters. You know what you have to do. Let's do it. And let's draw strength now from this Eucharist to go into this world and to change it, that it may be truly a culture of justice, love, and peace. You are to interpret the signs of the times. Jesus, help us to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands to act. Amen.